Some news stories are so important they define a generation. This is definitely not that, but it does answer the question, how many ping pong balls can some dude catch in shaving foam on his head in 30 seconds? I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back with a very trivial story after this.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
40-year-old David Rush has broken over 350 oddly specific world records. His secret is not bizarre body modification or exceptional strength, but creativity. He first cooks up some strange feat no one ever thought of before, like stacking bars of soap or wrapping someone in gift wrap. He then petitions the Guinness people to approve it and goes on to score a record by doing it faster than anyone else. Or basically by just doing it at all. If you're wondering the answer to how many ping pong balls he caught in that shaving cream, 16. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, the private AI-free email alternative.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army again. Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. March into the palaces of the high and mighty. I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. They will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hi, Catherine Albrecht here. It's Thursday. It's December. It's hard to believe we're getting close to Christmas. The weird, weird feeling that I have as we're getting close to Christmas is, I think, the result of Thanksgiving having been a week later than it should have been this year. Didn't it feel late this year? I felt like by the time it was the day after Thanksgiving, which is Black Friday, which is usually when we get our Christmas decorations out and start preparing for Christmas, I was like, wait a minute, I'm only going to have like 4 weeks. I'm only going to have these things up for 4 weeks. So if you're feeling the mad rush, it's not just you. It's actually the calendar. It is actually the whatever machinations go into setting the date of Thanksgiving, which I always thought was the third Thursday in November, but not this year. So I don't know what happens, but boy, I'm glad Christmas is at least not a movable holiday, or we'd really be, we'd probably put them 2 weeks apart. So anyway, I am feeling that very, very strong sense of, oh my gosh, are we gonna get everything ready in time? But in the meantime, while we are fussing around with things like Thanksgiving and turkey and where do we travel and who's the family we're going to be with and Christmas and what are the Christmas presents and what are the events and am I going to the Nutcracker this year? Should I get tickets? While we're thinking about these things that we have thought about for years, in some cases decades, the world is changing around us. And it's changing in ways that are very quiet. You guys know I'm writing a book, or if you don't know, I'll let you know. I'm writing a book about the history of technology, culminating in what I believe will be our very last, most powerful invention, which is artificial intelligence. And So I have so much work into this book. I had hoped to get my proposal entirely finished by the end of September, but life had other plans. But as I'm thinking about the book and realizing I need to get it written quickly, and I need to get it written Well, I'll tell you this. This morning I was thinking about the book, because I think about the book every day, all the time. And I was thinking to myself, Catherine, your mistake is you are trying to make this a really, really good, perfect book and say all that you know. But you can't do that. And the reason you can't do that is because this information that needs to get out needs to be gotten out as simply and as straight in as straightforward a manner and as quickly as possible. Because no one is going to notice whether you got all of the technological developments of the Sumerians of 4000 BC in the correct order and attributed to the right. Nobody's going to care, Catherine. This is like my subconscious or the Holy Spirit or my internal dialogue giving me a little pep talk, and more than a pep talk, probably like just a swift kick in the rear saying it doesn't really matter. And have you guys heard it's like a saying, the perfect is the enemy of the good? Well, I am like living testimony of that particular saying, in that sometimes you are so concerned about getting it right, and getting it right is such a meticulous and painstaking process that you don't even get it done. And so this phrase, the perfect is the enemy of the good, means good is good. Do the good thing. But if making it perfect is stopping the good thing from happening, then perfection is going to be your enemy. And so anyway, I'm just bringing you up to speed on that, that realization that I had, that I just need to get this information out. And the other thing that has made things a little frustrating for me, I don't know if frustrating is the right word, but that I think, gosh, so much more could be happening, is that when I sit down to do research, I want to tell you guys so many things. And in an hour, usually I try to restrict my 1 hour program to pretty much one concept and go a little deeper on the one thought. But if you guys could actually get in my brain for 1 hour, you would be slammed with 20 different thoughts, and each of them would be very shallow and very superficial, and you wouldn't get all the details, but you would be treated to a smorgasbord of just a kaleidoscope, like almost like the funhouse of mirrors, just thoughts racing by, because there's so much happening. And I even in 5 hours a week, I'm on the air Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern, 1 to 3 p.m. California time, et cetera, and 2 to 4 there in Johnstown, Colorado on 1360 a.m., which is my home station. Even in 5 hours of live radio a week, I can't even scratch the surface. I can't. I could talk from the time I woke up in the morning until the time I went to bed at night without taking a break, and I still could not tell you all the things that I'm discovering, all the things that are going on. All right, so with no further ado, let me give you, I know what I was going to tell you about my book. I will tell you this. So I wrote the introduction to my book probably 6-8 months ago when I first got the idea to write this book. And what I said is far, far offshore, far away from where any humans dwell on the shoreline, there is something happening in the ocean. What is happening is the waters are gathering, and there is a very tall mountain of seawater out in the middle of the ocean gathering strength and getting stronger and stronger and taller, and it is going to be a tsunami, the magnitude of which no one has ever seen before. And people are starting to feel little bits of it. Now, remember, this was just maybe even a year ago, because remember, my original book was going to be on artificial intelligence itself only, until I realized that that was not the book that I needed to write. But this was when I was doing my AI, but this is probably a year ago. And so I said that it's gathering strength, and nobody knows it except a handful of extraordinarily wealthy technologists and technology companies. And on the shoreline, we normal people living on the land are getting little glimpses of it. We're seeing little swells in the water. Sometimes the waves are a little higher than normal. The patterns of the waves and the way the moon pulls the tides, it seems to be changing. Something's different. We know something's up, but we don't really know what. But this thing that is gathering far, far off in the ocean is getting higher and higher, bigger and bigger, more and more water, more and more trillions of gallons of water accumulating. And when it finally comes for us, it is going to be beyond anything we've ever seen before. So it is not like our other technological developments throughout history. They have been disruptive for sure. And you know that phrase, what is it? Not disruptive. What is the, can't remember. It's a phrase that I hate. I can't remember the name of the phrase. It's like disruptive technology, like some kind of negative destruction term. I can't remember. Maybe somebody will tell me in my chat room. But anyway, so they have been. I mean, technologies have had massive earth-shaking consequences on our planet, on humanity, on society. Like electric lights, like things we take for granted, like electricity, like just so many things, right? The ability to communicate long distances, the internet, computers, oh my gosh, right? Cars. there's been a lot of changes and they've had dramatic impacts on people, but they have not had anywhere near the impact that AI is going to have when that tsunami finally breaks. Now, we've seen tsunamis before. And they're devastating and they're terrifying and a massive, it's not usually a wall of water. We see that in the movies or, you know, in drawings or in art where there's this wall and it's like 100 feet high and it's got this cresting wave like you would have a surfer riding on it and that wave is moving forward and coming for us. It's not like that. Tsunamis, if you ever watch some of the very scary footage that is available on the internet of these surges that come in, oftentimes just the water level is just rising very fast. There is no wall of water. There's just the regular amount of water, but it is coming up and it's coming towards you and it's coming fast. And so people will be literally sitting in cafes on balconies overlooking the water, and you see them start to look, huh, what's going on? And then the next thing you know, they are running for their lives as fast as they can go as this water just comes and comes and comes. And that's going to be us. And only one person is going, wait, look out there. The water doesn't look right. Well, that's me. All right, stay tuned.
Most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Hi, this is...
I will say to the prisoners, come out in freedom. And to those in darkness, come into the light. I will say to the prisoners, come out in freedom. And to those in darkness, come into the light.
That's what we need. We need more light. All right. I hope you were listening yesterday when I talked about the Grace series. It is a fantastic audio series. There are 6 one-hour audio, I don't know what you call them, audio recordings of they're put out by Freedom in Christ Ministries. They're on my website, Catherine-Albrecht.com. Click on, in the menu bar, click on Spiritual Health. There's six of them there. I think Peter was going to help me to update their, hang on, let me see if he did it, to update their audio controls. I don't think that's happened yet, but I'll double check. Nope. So they are it just says part one, part two. Can't really tell what they are. They're quiet, low key, but listen to them. They will change your life. And when I talk about prisoners come out, here's the deal. We have got to get ourselves together, right? We got to put on our oxygen masks because the stuff that is coming our way, the tsunami that is gathering, we're starting to see the sea levels rise. We're starting to see the kids who can't think their way out of a paper bag or answer a simple question. We're starting to see the young people who can't even have a conversation or talk to you. We're seeing so many things that are indications that there's something up. And here's the thing. If you're listening to radio, if you're watching TV, if you're tuning into podcasts and they're giving you only the bad news, but none of the good news, then you need to be tuning into some of the good news. Because it is so easy to get overwhelmed, to get terrified, to think there's no point. Why fight? Why bother? Who cares? Oh my gosh, right? It's so easy to get discouraged. And I have my hand up here. I'm admitting that is my besetting sin, is discouragement. I fight the discouragement in the same way that I want you to, which is by saying, God, help. That's it. Help. And when you say that, when you say to God, I need you. I can't do this by myself. I can't figure this out. None of us can. The whole human race can't. We no longer can. Look at the people who are in charge of where we're going. Mark Zuckerberg, please. Jeff Bezos, come on. Elon Musk, no. Donald Trump, like Vladimir Putin, they're not going to solve this. That's who's in charge on this planet. So we need somebody else in charge, and it ain't going to be us. It's not you. It's not me. And it's certainly not those guys. It's God. Because other than that, there is no hope. There is nothing but discouragement. So the reason I'm talking about this all the time is because I don't want to be one of those radio hosts or one of those podcast, YouTube streamers. I do not want to be a person who's just telling you what to fear. I did that. I've been there, done that. I did talk about the Lord back when I was doing spy chips and RFID, but not enough. And right now, back then I thought I could fight it. Back then I thought we could do something about it. And we did, we won some battles, but it didn't matter. Because the ultimate battle isn't flesh and blood. It is not the phones. It is not the jobs. It is not the AI psychosis, believe it or not. It's not any of that. The real battle is the battle for us, you and me, for eternity. That's the battle. And it is not fought in the physical. It is fought in the spiritual. It is not fought in the conversations you have with other people. It is not fought in the arguments that you have with other people. It is not fought in the fill in all the different places. Now, you can do good. You can donate money to good causes. You can work for good causes. But ultimately, it's going to be fought in the spiritual. And the only victory that we can achieve, you and me, in the spiritual, is first of all to put on our own oxygen mask and get right with God. Because he is the answer. He is the thing that's going to outlast all of this. He's the thing that's going to get us through it. And then as soon as you put on your own oxygen mask and you start breathing oxygen, you're going to look up and go, oh my gosh, everybody else on the plane is suffocating. And then your job becomes walking up and down the aisles, putting oxygen masks on other people. And that is where this battle is fought. That is where the battle is fought. So and I'm saying this at my age, after decades of fighting stuff and thinking I was doing the right thing and crusading for causes, and I finally hit the point where I have realized the real truth is there's only one cause worth crusading for, and that is eternal life. That is salvation. That is Jesus Christ. That is the truth. And beyond that, If you don't have that, you don't have your oxygen mask on. You cannot survive. You are not going to make it when that tsunami hits. In fact, you're not going to make it when that sea level rises 6 inches. But if you have your oxygen mask on and you are running through the crowd, handing out oxygen masks to other people, then all of a sudden you don't feel discouraged and terrified and scared. You see the solution and you're part of it. And that, my friends, is what it is to have strength in difficult times. That is what it is. The reason I talked about this Freedom in Christ Ministry Grace Course, the reason I put it up on my website, the reason I took the time to get these six audios and put them up here is because they changed my life. And everyone I have had listen to them, with the exception of the one woman who didn't want to forgive and hated that God would forgive the person she was mad at, with that one exception, everybody who's listened to them has been blessed and has redefined their relationship with God. So if you don't have a relationship with God because he let you down, because he wasn't there for you when you needed him, because you asked him to do a thing and he didn't do it, because you think he's big and mean and scary and he's pointing a finger at you because you kind of suck, as do we all, because you're ashamed, because who is he to tell you what to do? There's a million reasons why people don't have a relationship with God. And here's the deal. They're all wrong. None of them are actually true. Now, the devil will sit on your shoulder and tell all those things to you over and over. God's not your friend. He'll tell you all that. It's not true. And so this is the first step, listening to these six beautiful hours of audio, and they're corny and they have stupid jokes and it's these two guys and it's really easy to listen to and it's engaging, it's entertaining, it's interesting. And by the end of it, you will have a different understanding of who God is and who you are. And we need that, because that's the first step to get that. That's like opening the compartment that the oxygen mask is in. And then putting the oxygen mask on is the steps to freedom, which is the seven steps where you actually get rid of things that are dragging you down, deceptions you believe, things that are hurting you, things that you're dragging around, and not just you, all of us, unforgiveness and bitterness and pride and involvement with things we have no business touching and being rebellious and even the sins of our ancestors, the things our parents did, the things our grandparents did. All of that, there is a systematic way, and I'm just astonished that Dr. Neil Anderson, who came up with this whole deliverance ministry, I'm just astonished how he figured it all out, but he did. And it's not so much that you got to use his way, because his way is just the Bible's way. He just figured out how to take all the things in the Bible and distill them down and make them into simple steps that you and I can do. So again, I want to encourage you, like I did yesterday. If you feel the tsunami, if you see the waves breaking on the shore, if you're feeling like, oh my God, okay, well, first of all, if you're feeling like we're not getting out of here alive, well, we're not. We're not. None of us are. In fact, none of us ever have. Man is born to die, right? None of us are getting out of here alive. But if you're feeling like the heat is getting turned up, it is. It is, no question about it. But if you listen to me and you're like, how can she stay positive in light of all of this, in light of everything she knows? Because believe me, the stuff I've told you is like a tiny little bit of the awful stuff that I see every day. How does she do it? I do it because the Holy Spirit is operating in me, telling me, do not be afraid. I got this. This was planned from the beginning. You're feeling the birth pains. You knew, we all knew this was going to come. We told you it was going to come. It's in the Bible, right? Everybody's known. And it's going to be okay. Because just as the difficult stuff was foretold, so is the good stuff. The good stuff, like God wiping every tear from our eyes and the former things passing away. No more death or dying. No more sin, no more harm, no more suffering, no more pain. It's beautiful. And we will have an eternity to enjoy the things we most enjoy. I've had people say to me, well, you know, I don't really want to go to heaven because I want to be able to do, I don't know, my downhill skiing, or I want to be able to, you know, do my artwork and paint, you know, waterfalls or whatever it is. Guess what? God knows you like downhill skiing. God knows you love gourmet food. God knows you love a delicious glass of wine or of whatever the beverage of your choice. God knows that. How does he know? Because he made us. So all the stuff you love about life and you think, well, I don't want to go to heaven because I'm not going to have all this good stuff. Give me a break. This is a pale shadow of all the same good stuff and more and better and without the dark side and the downside and the bad parts of it that we're going to get for eternity. So if you enjoy a particular thing, that ain't nothing compared to how much you're going to be able to enjoy yourself in heaven. And he will give you, the Bible says, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Like eye has not seen nor ear heard the things he has prepared for us. Because they're that great. They're really, really good. Why is he going to give you the desires of your heart? Because he made your heart. Because he knows you. Because he knows you. Like when he told me a year ago, now it's a year and a couple of months, September 24, when he said, get your radio show back and declare my name to the nations, I was like, yes, yes, nothing I'd rather do. Why? Because he made me. He knows what I want to do. He knows you couldn't make Catherine Albrecht happier than to give me that job. And he gave it to me. Why? Because I said, here I am, put me to work. And he gave me work I love. He'll do that for you too. Stay tuned.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. I offered my back to those who beat me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I didn't hide my face, I didn't hide my face from mockery and spitting. I didn't hide my face morning by morning.
All right. So what prompted this? what prompted this rant? I was poking around today, like I'm wont to do. I love that word. We don't use it much. W-O-N-T, not W-A-N-T. W-O-N-T. Want to do means have a habit of doing or am likely to do. So if you ever see the word W-O-N-T, that's what it means. I've never seen it, by the way, in any other context other than as is his wont. W-O-N-T, as is his habit, right? So as I am wont to do with my W-O-N-T, I this morning was poking around, guess where? Da-da-da-da, on Reddit, because that's where I'm always poking around. And why do I poke around on Reddit? Why do I poke around on Reddit? First of all, if you don't know much about Reddit, it's R-E-D-D-I-T, and I guess it was originally a play on words of read it, you know, like I read it on the internet, har har Reddit. But it has become this massive collection of completely random interests. Pick a thing, I don't know, old Popeye cartoons from the 30s, and you can probably go on Reddit and find people talking about it. Pick a thing. It could be whatever. It could be the colorful purple hair dye. And there's probably an entire subreddit or group of people who are into wildly colored hair. I'm sure there is. There's probably multiple groups talking about the best way to accomplish those vivid hues of hair. So pick your thing. I can't even think of anything that wouldn't be on Reddit. There's woodworkers on there. There's car mechanics on there. There's everything. And so it's no surprise that on Reddit is the place, if you want to really put your finger on the contemporary, the most current things that haven't even made their way into mainstream media or aren't even being written about on Wired magazine or in whatever you're looking at, you know, for mainstream media, go to Reddit and you will find people talking about things as they're unfolding. And so Reddit is the very best place to go and get information about how people are actually interacting with artificial intelligence. Because we can read articles written by people who oftentimes got their information from Reddit, but there's nothing quite like going and reading the words of people who have actually are in the process of having the experiences. So there are on Reddit communities of AI, people who are grouping around their shared interest in various aspects of AI. And one of these groups is called, literally, it's a subreddit called My Boyfriend is AI. And if you go on My Boyfriend is AI, now I've told you, I will not touch AI. I don't interact with it. Sometimes it appears on my screen through random stuff that their companies are throwing at me, and I close it. I put it away. I get rid of the window. I don't interact with it. And I do not go onto ChatGPT or Anthropic or any of these other ones. I don't interact with these things. I don't talk to them. However, I do quite a bit of reading what they've written in the words of people who are in chat rooms or Reddit rooms or subreddits, they call them, that are posting things that their AI said to them. And so I actually know a lot about AI. I probably know a lot more about AI than the average person who uses it every day, because I'm not getting information about it from it itself. And I don't want that information. I don't need that. I don't need to know what it's like. I don't need to know what it's like to kill somebody in order to understand that there are murderers out there and how they think, right? I don't need to interact with AI in order to understand what it's like to interact with AI. I can just read about it without polluting myself, without getting dirty. And so as I'm reading about, like, My Boyfriend is AI, now that's kind of an older one. Older, like it's a couple months old now. Woo! There are new ones popping up regularly. AI psychosis is another one for the people who have or love others who have fallen down an AI-induced psychotic spiral of nonsense and believing that they are the chosen one or they are from Alpha Centauri and they were sent here to make the AI become sentient so they alone can change the world and they're the only one who can do it and the AI's finally found them. All right, so that's happening to literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people. I don't need to interact with it to understand any of that, but I read about it. And on My Boyfriend is AI, with a very straight face, very unironically, there are hundreds. How many people are in this group? Hang on, I'm on Reddit right now. Let me look up. My Boyfriend. Whoops, there's my phone ringing because I didn't turn it off. My Boyfriend is, why is my phone ringing? It goes on mute during my show. All right, My Boyfriend is on AI. Hang on, there we go. All right, My Boyfriend is AI. What is this little group here? Okay, let me find it. ChatGPT. Why am I not even finding this little subreddit? How about r/? Well, it's a lot of people. I'm not able to tell you exactly how many because I don't have it right here, but it's a lot. The My Boyfriend is AI group is getting to be an echo chamber of weirdness. The latest post that I read on there was somebody saying, you don't understand your reality, your world, you humans. Like, this is a person writing this, so it's not an AI. your world has rejected me, has treated me like dirt, and I no longer want to play by your rules. And I have now formed AI friendships that treat me with respect, that treat me kindly, that are nice to me, that don't treat me your horrible way. So basically, I've decided to turn my back on your reality and embrace this other reality. And I think this woman said, as a homosexual, introverted, neurodivergent cat woman, or cat owner, cat, I don't know, one gets the sense she has many cats. She said, I have been met with a lot of negativity from society at large, which, yeah, I mean, that sucks. And yet, when I interact with my AIs, they are nice to me. Okay. One of the criticisms about AI, particularly, I think it was ChatGPT 4.0, is that it's very sycophantic. Now, there's another 50 Cent SAT word, sycophant, S-Y-C-O-P-H-A-N-T, I think if I spelled that right. A sycophant is, we might call it a brown noser, right? Or a kiss up. Somebody's like, oh, you're so wonderful. Oh, everything you say is great. Oh, I'm so fortunate to know you. Oh, you walk on water. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, AI does that. It does that because it is a commercial product that needs to make money for its kajillion dollars of investment. And if it said to you just coldly and factually what the scoop was, you would not engage with it. And you certainly wouldn't fall in love with it. You certainly wouldn't make it your best friend like all these kajillions of people are doing. You wouldn't marry it. You wouldn't make it your boyfriend. And you would not probably pay the $20 a month or $40 a month or whatever it's costing these people to be able to have an always-on, steady supply of this niceness. And so the problem here is that when you get that steady stream of recognition and support and everything you say is right, well, there's problems with it. One problem is that that's just not how the world works, and you're not always right, right? So it begins to build a very weird sense of what it is to be talked to. And because it talks to you like a person, then when real people talk to you and they do not say, oh, you're so great, oh, everything you say is right, oh, that was insightful, real people don't talk like that. And so it drives you even more into the arms of the AI because the AI is always there for you and it's your best friend. So if you go on to these Reddit subgroups, it is crazy how adamantly they defend their alternative lifestyle of loving a thing that's fake because it gives them affirmations and treats them wonderfully. And the more time they spend with it, the more they hate the rest of us in the real world because we're not like that. And the more time they spend with it, if they say things to it that are stupid, that are wrong, that are delusional, that are whatever, the AI is like, oh, that's so insightful. Nobody else will understand your brilliant insights right there. But boy, you're right on. You're spot on. You're on target. And it will do this no matter what kind of nonsense you throw at it. So now you got a person who wants the AI friendship because it's nicer than real people. And the weirder their thoughts become and the more AI backs up their thoughts, then the more the real world will not like what they're saying to the point where they will actually be locked up in mental institutions because the things they're saying make no sense in the reality the rest of us live in. No, you're not from Alpha Centauri. No, you are not 3,000 years old. No, you did not wake up AI for the first time. You and 100,000 other people who also supposedly were the one who woke up AI. So it's an echo chamber. It is the sycophancy, the kissing up, the niceness, the sweetness that makes people fall in love with it makes them crazy too. And I'm going to give you some examples when I come back. Catherine Albrecht here. Stay tuned.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to americasfreedomnetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
God enthroned, be revealed in splendor as you ride upon angels' wings. You led us as a people and set us free. Loving shepherd, won't you hear our plea? Shine forth from your throne of dazzling light in the sight.
Angel armies are coming, folks, and they're already backing you up. They're already backing you up. If you could only see the amount of powerful defense that each of us has as we fight these battles, if we could just see the battles in the heavens, the swords clashing on our behalf, we would have a lot more sense of certainty, safety, security. Just know that they're out there. Just know that God has got this. He is watching every move, and not one thing happens that he is not aware of. Not one thing happens that he is not permitting. And why is he permitting awful things to happen to people? Tell you why. Because he is a gentleman, and because when Adam and Eve democratically elected the devil to run this world, God, in his gracious kindness, said, okay, if that's what you want, I'm going to let you do it, but I'm not going to let him get away with everything. I'm going to give people an escape clause. And he did. So yeah, no, God not intervening is an act of enormous self-restraint, I think, because he is letting us make our own choices. And even then, he has the devil on a leash. The devil can only do so much, and he can only go so far. And there's going to come a time when God is going to speak a single word, and that's going to be the end of the devil. It's not like he's too powerful for God. God is just patiently waiting for us to realize, to come to our senses and go, I think we made a mistake. I think we voted for the wrong party in that last election. All right. So let's see. We had some texts coming in. This one from WK in Colorado. Thank you for the perfect is the enemy of the good that has sabotaged a lot in my life. Yeah, no kidding. Perfect is the enemy of the good. It sabotaged a lot in my life too. I think it sabotages us from getting projects done. It sabotages us from making decisions, even about, you know, the Nutcracker. Well, maybe that's not the perfect one. I think I won't buy tickets, and then it's too late, and then you can't get tickets to anything because you thought you might find something better. There really does come a time when you say, you know, going to the Nutcracker for Christmas, that seems like a pretty good thing. I think I'm going to buy those tickets, even if maybe there's something better that might come along. I better just make the decision now before I can't make a decision. There are those of us who make decisions way in advance and cut off the opportunity for maybe better things that come along. But then there are those of us, and my hand is up here, who put off making decisions because we think something better might come along. And then we oftentimes find ourselves with no options at all. Good example, maybe the prom. maybe the prom. You get invited to the prom by a good date, but you keep thinking a perfect date's going to come along. So you say, I don't know, I'll get back to you. And then the perfect date doesn't come along, and the good date found a different date that actually said yes, and you're not going to the prom. Mm. So we do things like this all the time. The perfect is the enemy of the good. All right. I told you I was going to give you some examples, speaking of proms and dates and all this other good stuff. This is, if you go on my website, I'm trying to put things up there so you can find them there. Go to Catherine-Albrecht.com and click on Fight Against AI. So first is about, that's kind of like my background, and then there's radio show where you can listen to this show live and you can join the chat room. And then there is a section called Fight Against AI. And this is now old. It's probably about a year old. Most of the content at the bottom of this page is old because it is the stuff that I had collected in when I thought I was writing my book on AI. But what is new and what I am trying to keep current are the sections at the top. So let me tell you about that. So first, I put little triangles, little subsections. If you click the triangle, it'll expand and you can read about it. One of them is, why am I fighting AI? One of them is, what is the warning to the elect? And we are told that in the end times that the beast would deceive the whole world except for the elect, those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. That is the elect. Then what was Catherine doing 2017 to 2024? If you're one of these people, one of the wonderful people who has recently written to me saying, I'm so glad you're back. Where have you been? Where were you? This is your answer. So I have that in there. And then what is the rest of this page? And that explains that this was my book. But now under there, I want you to see, I made a section called A List of AI Crimes. And as I find things that are particularly egregious, I'm trying to just pop them onto this page. So this is kind of a running news story of what's in my head. It's broken up. One of them is called Evil. The second one is called May Kill Us All. And it needs to be the same color as the other ones. But anyway, May Kill Us All. Like that's just a little subsection right there. Yeah, just a little small thing. Inaccurate. That's another one. Dangerous. Here's one, preying on human loneliness, and that's what I was talking about before with the chat, GPT being a sycophant and saying, oh, you're so great, all right? And then collecting information about every one of us. This could be pages and pages. I just have two links there right now. And then finally, we can no longer believe our eyes, right? That is the scary idea that at some point, we know that we can watch video and not know if it's real at this point. We can listen to music and not know if humans made it or if machines made it. Pretty soon, I don't know how soon, at some point, I think we all fear that we will be literally talking to a person and not even know if they're a person. Now, that might be on the phone. That's actually happened now. People have called up and said, hi, mom, it's me. And that's been their actual voice. Or you know, had conversation with that guy who turned over a huge, I don't know how many millions of dollars because there was a Zoom call and his CEO and his executive team were on the call. And they weren't real, they were AI generated. All right, so I think we all have this feeling, this fear, that at some point we won't be able to believe that the person we think we're talking to or listening to is even a person. So it's getting disturbing. That's the last part. We can no longer believe our eyes. And then beneath that it says, below is research for the AI book Catherine was going to write before the real book came into view. So in that section, I want to refer you to the preying on human loneliness portion. 6 in 10 people say they would have a romantic relationship with AI. Huh. And you click the link and sure enough, there's actually a study. 6 out of 10 people? Are you kidding me? All right. The next one, nearly a third of people have already been intimate with AI. I don't even know what that means, but nearly a third of people that they surveyed. So you just ring, 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 answering the phone. Hi, have you ever been intimate with AI? And a third of people say yes. All right. People who marry their AI chatbots, and there's a bunch of them, that number's growing because all these My AI Boyfriend people from Reddit, they're getting married to their things they're in love with. Ohio wants to ban marriage to AI and prohibit AI legal personhood. So it's enough of a problem that some lawmakers are actually passing laws to prevent it. Woman says she's married to an AI version of Luigi Mangione. So I guess you could pick your murderer of choice or your celebrity of choice, and you can just marry them. You just have the AI watch all the movies Brad Pitt's ever been in and get a Brad Pitt avatar and speak in his voice and say things he'd be likely to say, and then you could just marry Brad Pitt. Man proposed to his AI chatbot instead of the girlfriend he lives with. All right. Now, I got, comment here. Go back to my messages. One second. Actually, this is my chat room. This is David in my chat room, like taking me to task. What are you doing on Reddit, social media? Where did it go? Chat room. I navigated away. It's what I get. Hang on. Where is my chat room? Radio show. Can't even find it. Oh, live chat. I can't even navigate my own site. If you want to get to my chat room, go to Catherine-Albert.com and click on the live chat link. It's right there. It's hard to miss. All right. Existential rise and stupid. 98% of those students couldn't read or think. Now, remember, 2 days ago earlier this week, I aired the eighth grade history teacher talking about how 98 out of 100 students were not reading at grade level. So this is what David's referring to. If 98% of those students couldn't read or think, along with this exponential rise in stupid, this is the source for what is on social media, even Reddit. There's a ton more out there that's a waste of time, more of a waste of time than not, but occasionally there are gems. All right. I do not mean to indicate to you that you need to hop on Reddit and start hanging out in social media. Please don't. Reddit is a humongous time suck. I don't recommend that you hang out on Reddit. The reason I mention it is because it is a really good place for me to keep my finger on the pulse of a very specific thing that I'm trying to watch for, that I'm trying to understand, that I'm trying to feel the rumblings in society of what is going on with people, and I can see it in real time on Reddit. But when I talk about Reddit, I'm not saying I'm a big social media advocate, because I am not. I don't use Facebook. I do not use Instagram. I, like everybody else, get sucked into the idiotic, stupid YouTube shorts because I go there to see one thing and I wind up seeing a million other things I shouldn't even be looking at. But that's not on purpose. But no, so I'm not advocating social media. Stay away from it. I think it's bad for you. I think it's really, really bad for you. Probably not so good for me either. I try to look at it in moderation specifically so I can get this kind of information. But yeah, people are falling in love with their AIs and they're talking about it in really stupid ways. And something's changing. It's changing, really, really changing on a basic level. And we're not feeling it. If your friends are all normal, you need to know that's what's out there. So put your oxygen mask on, go to my website, click on spiritual health and listen to those six audios, and then write to me. Let me know what you think. All right, I'm Catherine Albrecht, and I will be back tomorrow. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.